Today's talk is about love. We chatted a little bit about it on the way here in the car. And the theme is love completely, of course. Conclusion that Rena came to in the car was, this is a risk of force, folks. You can see her going, no, no, no. You can see that happening. Those of you on the internet, you haven't had the pleasure of meeting my wife. I could be in trouble later on, just to let you know. But her conclusion was, we can't all be lovey-dovey. You've got to have some sensible people about. And it's kind of true. Today we're going to talk about love. I suppose to try and let the rubber hit the road, for it to really help us, maybe individually, for us to be able to make use of this talk, this preach or whatever, maybe you ask, well, what's in it for you? What's in it for you today? So maybe you do need to just re-examine your relationship with God. Maybe. Maybe it's about love between you and your partner. Maybe that's what you need to be thinking. Or your family, your wider family. Maybe for some it's about people in church, maybe even this church, that you're just finding more and more, it's difficult because you're struggling. That love completely thing doesn't happen. You'd rather be avoiding or keeping out the way of, or maybe in your house group. It could be just the way you are with other human beings, generally, that there's an issue of love. Is there room for more love in your life? It's part of our series, this 1 month to live. And the theme is love completely. This is a little bit of self-disclosure now. It could end up with a lot of trouble as well, I suppose. But I personally, and I mean, it's a good thing, I'm struggling with the premise of this book. I struggle with the, and I think, without saying too much, I think if I had a short time to live, I think I personally am a very selfish person. That is my problem. And as I read it and I try and I want to be like what the author says, this is what should happen, you know. And I think, no, I don't. If I had a short time to live, I'd be living up, traveling, going somewhere. I mean, maybe the Med, maybe south of France, maybe the Caribbean, maybe Disneyland or something, you know. Not Paris, but, you know, the proper one. And and if I did, I would take the wee fella with me, you know. He would sleep for 80 or 90%. It wouldn't matter. He would be my excuse. I'm doing it for him. Yeah, and all of that. And that would be kind of... But what we're striving to share over this period of time is our desire to want to live well, to honour God. 1 month to live is not about us kind of scraping through to Christmas or something and then feeling good about ourselves. But it is about committing during this 1 month. We've had a couple of weeks, we're working through it. It's about us all committing 1 month to learn how to live for the rest of our lives. Making decisions these weeks, these tricky little conversations that we're having, where we will make decisions that will affect the way that we live. And today, love completely, or completely love, as I've just turned it around a minute. But why do we need to know? Because the honest truth is we all have the possibility of our relationships going wrong. All of us. We all experience, from time to time, we will experience fallouts. We will experience disagreement or challenging behavior. Sometimes, even in my house, it's really hard to love completely. Really hard. And sometimes there are some serious misunderstandings. You know, I wish I could say that I'm an expert on this love completely thing. I'm really striving because, as I say, I'm not. I'm more, let's learn how to be selfish. I could teach you a lot about that. Let's learn how to think about yourself and not to worry. But this love completely, the problem for me is it's not love, you know, more often it's not love completely, it's lose it completely. That's me. You know, if you're trying to say what is it, you know, I mean, I said, Rena, can you describe in a few words what you mean by that? So we're talking in the car this morning. She said, well, you're a hothead. So I said, well, yes, I suppose I am. And my desire is and has been for decades now to be better, to be different. But the old me keeps rising, coming out. And so this isn't about me trying to say this is how to be perfect. This is about me saying I have vulnerabilities, I have frailties, I am striving, but I want to learn so that the next time, the next occasion, the next opportunity, there is something more, something better that arises. There has to be room for love, more love in my life. And it is about making choices. So today is about how we can maybe do that. Choices, so when there's a misunderstanding, so that there can be more understanding, not misunderstanding, so there can be more understanding. A conscious effort. Even, Eric, even when you've lost it completely, to begin again, to get back on track so that you can love completely. It's made harder, as I said, because there is this selfishness that arises. And even more so when I'm hurting, when I feel hurt. This is the time when I should be able to follow the book, and this is the time I think I can't, I just can't do it. It's, you can be offended, and I would say that during those times, my eyesight just gets blurred, and that wide angle lens that you operate with so often, that just goes completely, and it just narrows down until you've got tunnel vision. And you're only thinking about yourself. You lose that possibility of seeing the wider picture. So imagine, you know, somebody, a pastor, 30 odd years or something, you know, and he's actually telling you he's more qualified to be a kamikaze pilot than to actually be teaching you about love completely. My tunnel vision comes, and then I'm in the zone, aiming to get rid of, be destructive, as destructive as I possibly can, and it doesn't matter about myself then. I'm in the zone where I can only do harm, and it's because I've lost that capacity to see. To be able to, and it's about choices at that time. Choices, because I know it's not just about my feelings. I know that, but it's about getting to grips with that. The question is, can I, at that point, be sensitive to the need of someone else? Can I begin to, again, allow for the wide angle lens and to see the wider picture? John chapter 13, there's a story about Jesus where he's in a room and it's a passage about Jesus washing the feet of his disciples. Verse 1 said, Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world, go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. What a great little phrase that is. He loved them to the end. One version says, this was the full extent of his love. Another version, he loved them to the uttermost. That's love completely, shown in Jesus, seen in Jesus. Now that chapter, those verses, yeah, he gets the towel, he gets the basin, and he's going around. But it's not as simple for us. It's not as simple as just going from one to another and to another and fulfilling the task. It's not just getting the task done. Whatever it is that you think you need to do, it's not just about the task. Because in the room, he was aware of all sorts of stuff that was going on. He was aware of the jealousy that was present, the failure that was present, the betrayal that was present. He was aware of somebody that was stealing from him and from others. He was aware of pride, serious pride that was all around. He knew all of that, and he felt it. And so to love completely wasn't just about taking the towel and doing the task. It was about making choices in that room, in that environment, making a choice to overcome any strength of feeling that he might have had that was looking for revenge. Any strength of feeling that he might have had where he desired, oh, I need to be looking for pity, people to feel sorry for him. He had to overcome that. He had to overcome the desire for any form of indulgence at all, to love completely, to serve them, to honor them. In Mark chapter 12, verse 30, we read the words of Jesus about how to love completely, to be wholehearted about it. Mark 12, verse 30 says, love the Lord your God. This is Jesus' words. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment that is greater than these. And here Jesus is differentiating between heart and soul. That's a true thing. Any theologians would say, yeah, we've got a differentiation there. But it indicates, he says in two different words, heart, which is cardia, and soul, which is psyche. He says, this is how to love completely, because inside you, there is an internal engine room that needs to be clicking into gear. The conclusion is, you can only be wholehearted if you can get to grips with what is right in the heart, right in the center, right at the core of your being. Because right down there, deep down in your soul, is where the real desires are. It's down there where the real motives are lying. Where for Eric, you know, it's down there that it all erupts like a volcano. You know, that's where in my psyche, it's my soul that says, oh, there's more power for me. You know, there's more control and there's more gain. Surely there's more gain for me in all of this. There's more gratification. I can get more out of this. There's more attention. There must be more attention for me. It's deep down in my soul that that's happening. All of that, heart and soul, strength and mind, needs to be won over as we make decisions so that we can truly love completely. I hope you're seeing that it's not lovey-dovey. Sometimes we need to be sensible and make the day-to-day decisions. Paul, in the book of Romans, he helps us to understand how love is so vital to our everyday decisions. It's a principle of love, and it inspires how we ought to be living. In Romans chapter 13, verses 8 to 10, it says this. Paul writes, let no debt remain outstanding, except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law, the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not covet. And whatever other command there may be are summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Paul is indicating, just as Jesus did, that the law and love are inextricably linked. They function together. Of course, we know that the law, it's there. It regulates our behavior. The law does. It says you don't do this, you can't do that, you can't go over there, you can go over here, but not over there. And it delivers sanctions if you get it wrong. That's what the law does. It becomes a legal requirement. And so that regulation of our behavior. But listen, that's what love ought to do. Love ought to be regulating our behavior. Because we might not have a law about what to do when we're in the house, or when we're in work, or when we're out in the community. And Eric, when you're just, losing it completely, there might not be a law about it, but there is, and it's love that has to regulate your behavior. It's not that we hear this, it's just about love. When anything goes, we can live. Whatever happens spontaneously, that's okay. We just go with the flow. Let me tell you, love completely is where commandments are kept. Love for one another, it keeps us living in acceptable boundaries. Paul says, no debts. Owe no man anything. Now, the issue of debt here in this, it's not just about money. I mean, it's good if you can be out of debt. Many of us are not, because we've got a mortgage or something. It's good if you, but this is not, this is about an issue that keeps us straight with one another, that keeps us right, that allows us to honor one another. It is love that keeps us out of debt. It's love that will allow us to stay in credit with people. It's love that does it. It's love that allows us and enables us to respect the rights of other people. The right of the people that we're living with, the right of the people that we work with, that we have fellowship with on a Sunday or a Thursday or whenever it is. People, we all have rights. In other words, we all deserve to be given what is due to us. And Paul goes to lengths to talk about he just mentions the commandments. He lists a few of them. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill, do not steal, do not covet. And that do not commit adultery is when you boil it right down to a basic, it is the right of stability in relationship. We all have that right to have a stable relationship. And that is why these laws, but love ought to bring that. Do not kill. We have a right of life. And safety. I'm just thinking, please do not kill me. I have the right. We have the right. Please. And then Paul says, do not steal. We have the right to own things. Security. We have the right. And do not covet. That's about the privilege of status. That means, when I love you, it's okay for you to have more than me. Hallelujah. Do not covet. I'm respecting, I'm honoring who you are. It's love that ought to make that happen, not a law. Whoever loves fulfills the law. These things, love says we have the right to all of the stability, safety, security, status. You can go on. Paul says, whatever other commandment is written, these things will safeguard your, but ultimately it comes down to this little summary. What do you mean? He says this, reminding us, because we know it already. We don't always live by it, but he reminds us, love your neighbor as yourself. And basically, that's just the right of fair play, isn't it? Paul is saying, let's have a level playing field. Let's live where we all have a fair crack of the whip. Where we treat one another like we would want to be treated. And that's the golden rule. To love completely is to live by the golden rule. Do unto others that which you would expect to be done to you. He says in verse 10, love does no harm to its neighbor. So often there is fear in our lives, in our hearts, about moving forward, about allowing. Is there room for more love in your life? Maybe fear of rejection or fear of humiliation or failure, being wounded again and again. Is there fear? Any sort of fear that just prevents us from receiving more love and releasing more love, any fear, it really limits the potential of love. 1 John 4, verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. I'm going to finish in a minute. I'm just going to ask the worship team to come, and maybe Jim could just play a little bit for us as we just contemplate. Because this is about our capacity to love. To love completely. And so, to live differently. To live differently. And I believe it's possible that we can be transformed this morning by the outpouring of God's love into our hearts. Transforms us. It may be a long time since the Bible calls it your first love, where God touched you, changed you, transformed you. First love. Getting back somewhere to that. I remember fondly those, I would have said, that's the nearest, I guess, that I was to love completely. Backward and forward a little bit since then. Sense of failure, selfishness that comes through so much. But what can change things, I know what can change things. It's his perfect love that drives out fear, that allows us to accept a new freedom, new potential for that love to work. Where is important in and with our connection with the Father, to love completely. Because he has loved us, for God so loved the world. With our partners, to love completely. It might not be that you will be able to just, you might lose it completely in the month ahead. But if you make a decision today to love completely, to receive something of God's love into your heart, into your soul, into your spirit, into the engine room, to empower us to live differently with church, with one another, in our community, to love completely. I'm going to ask you just to close your eyes. I'm going to pray for us now. As I pray, I would urge you just to say a little prayer for yourself and just to reach out to God while I pray. Just let this occasion, this opportunity, be one where we are recognizing that from time to time we need to make better decisions and that we need to know His wonderful, releasing, transforming love deep down in our being. Father, I pray now that as we are before You in Your presence, that You would come now by the power of Your Spirit and You would just connect with Your people, that You would miraculously work deep within us where only You can work, deep down in the engine room of our being, to transform us by Your love, to overwhelm us with Your love, to, Lord, just really transform us, make that miraculous difference that would chase fear from our hearts, chase fear from our lives, and allow Your strength, Your goodness, Your grace to flow when we find it most hard, when we find it most difficult. Lord, we want to make those better decisions to live day by day differently for You. Help us. We are Your children. We are Your servants. We are Your people. We are Your disciples. And we pray now, by the power of Your Holy Spirit, that we will receive all that You do in this moment. Lord, do it now, right now, right at this moment, in the name of Jesus Christ. Do it for us, I pray, and help us to be able to live better in the months and years ahead, and we ask it in Your name. Amen. Amen.